Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. It's the 14th of December, and it's just nice to have you on a Monday.
It is.
It's just nice. All
those wonderful people are out there.
Oh, my goodness. And I don't know, you know, they say that the most innocuous thing you can always talk about is the weather, but Mike, it shouldn't
it's
be
amazing.
Like this. It was almost 60 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, there's good news and there's bad news.
You think we're going to pay for it?
The good news is, well, yes, I do, on two levels. The good news is that it's nice out there, and that's
right.
Lovely. The bad news is it's probably has something to do with climate change.
You think?
And the planet is deteriorating.
Right. That's right. And so we're gonna obviously talk about the climate accord that happened over the weekend, and who this is a win for, and what this will actually do. Let me introduce the panel, and then we'll start off with another issue that broke on Friday that I'm curious to talk about and get out of the way. So we begin with our good friend, WAMC's Dr. Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning,
Very
Big
nice
Joe.
Very nice to have you here, as
Great
always.
To see you.
Our wonderful Rosemary Romeo is here, and what?
You can stop after wonderful.
Okay.
That's cool.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. All we need to know.
Thank
she's
you.
She's an investigative reporter. She's a journalism professor at the University at Albany.
And a cookie baker.
Have you been baking cookies
for your
student?
We had the big Christmas, our Mayo Christmas cookie party yesterday. 7 hours of cookies and a little alcohol.
You're,
games.
Yeah.
You have to wash it down with something.
Excellent. And the always busy, the always engaged, the always interested in something. Libby Post is with us, a political
animal
consultant.
Yes, thank
yes.
you.
So welcome
thank
to the
you,
program.
Dear.
Welcome to you all. Let us begin with the Dean Skelos conviction on Friday and the repercussions. So as you probably know, we had another one of the guys in the there are three guys in the room.
Two down.
Okay, so one Sheldon Silver was one of the guys in the room, and then he got convicted, and then Dean Skelos was the other guy in the room, and he was on trial with his son, and on Friday they got convicted. So now yes, so there's two out of the three guys in the room are
bye-bye now.
Maybe going to jail. So, what does that mean?
Well, you and Libby have both skirted around the big question. Nobody wants to ask it because nobody wants to presume that something's going to happen. But we do have some hints. We do have the U.S. Attorney, Pete Bharara, saying, again, in a tweet last week, stay tuned. We do know that the people who were called in by Preet Bharara after the collapse of the Moreland Commission, and we don't know all of them, but we know who the major players were, and they are not in the Cuomo administration anymore. They've gone to what we call soft landings in other places, which Cuomo has some
real estate,
some friends in, and the rest of it. We do know that we have seen a marked change in Cuomo's behavior. All of a sudden, Mr. Mean Guy is Mr. Nice Guy, and making peace with a lot of the people who were alienated from him. I'm delighted to watch it. But we see the teachers being mollified, and we see, you know, some of these major groups. And even the de Blasio thing has calmed down, you know, a little bit. So all of this adds up to a fascinating sort of look in. If you meet people on the inside, in the street, they will tell you, is Cuomo going to this? Is Bharara going after Cuomo? But nobody wants to say it because it's not fair. I mean, you can't really create a scenario in which this happens.
Well, and we don't know if it's true.
That's correct, Joe. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's true, and we don't know if it's going to happen. But it is what everybody's talking about. So when people say, well, you can't trade on rumors, they're right. You know, that's not correct. It's not a good thing to do.
But Go ahead.
I was going to say, before we go on to the next step, I want us to reflect a moment on what has happened. What a piece of work Skelos and his son was.
Oh my God.
Pretty much know you're in trouble when your defense attorney is saying, being a bad employee is not a criminal offense. That was the closing statement.
And the same thing with Silver.
Exactly.
When they said,
this is the way we've always done it.
And that was a defense. Now, look, I'm telling you now, I'm not absolutely confident that these will not be overturned
on
appeal. Well,
I think they're banking on appeals.
Yeah, they are.
That's exactly what they're doing, because both of them put up weak defenses.
Well, also because it's not the public. It's not a jury. It'll be a judge looking at what the honest services law, for example, was. It should be. And that's been interpreted before.
Mm-hmm. But
Mel Miller was once convicted as a speaker way before any of you kids were born. But I remember. But Mel Miller was... And then he was exonerated.
Yeah. So there's like 30 some, and correct me if I'm wrong on the number, or someone will correct me, but because it was Silver was on 15 counts, and Skelos and his son were like 15, somewhere in there. But we're talking about around 30 counts, and they were found guilty on every single solitary one.
Okay, so the public is fed up.
Yeah.
So you put a jury together, the public hears this stuff, they say, what's the difference here? Is this right or is this wrong? The public says, it's wrong.
Right.
This isn't wrong. Mm-hmm. This is wrong. This is not the way to behave. You're not supposed to get your son, you know, freebie jobs that he doesn't have to go to. And when somebody demands he goes, he tells the boss, I'll squash your head.
Yeah. I mean, his behavior was criminal to begin with. I mean, how can you raise someone like that?
This legislature has never passed laws that will allow them to be held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who are making the law. And frankly, I've said it on this show 14 times already. I'm going to say it another time. And that is that the good people who vote, in the so-called good ones in the legislature, who vote these guys, these characters into office and don't vote for strict ethics laws, they really aren't so good.
Well, also, the other thing, and I think you brought... If you didn't say this over the weekend, I'm going to attribute it to you anyway, because I think I heard you over the weekend talk about this, which is basically that the people that we have in there now who are in these positions who have been replaced aren't exactly the choir boys that
you
would...
Are you kidding? You are so right. I mean,
what do you do?
You get rid of Shelley Silva, and who do you bring in? The boss of the Bronx. The boss of the Bronx. Carl Hasty, Boss Hasty. Now, come on. And that's really something.
So
you get rid of Skelos, and who do you bring in? The guy from the next district who looks, smells, and you know, it could be a twin of Skelos.
Actually, it looks more like his dad, but yes.
Yeah, true. I remember the dad.
So these are the people that would be in charge, along with the governor, of course, to make changes, to make fundamental changes. And I believe your point was how is that going to happen if you already have people lined up to sort of the next wave of possible corruption?
And Joe, I have to say that the discussion as to how to make it better has been hilarious. One thing is to give them, quote, full-time jobs. They make 100 grand now by the time all the...
So they won't get in trouble.
Full-time jobs and prohibit outside
income.
Income. Right. You know, there'll always be a way to steal. It is not to reward them for bad behavior by giving them much more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's to change.
Now, well, it works in Congress.
Well, then they have to put all of their investments.
Oh, sure it does.
Yeah.
Look, the two ways to change this are... And they won't happen, are what we have in Massachusetts, initiative and referendum.
No, please.
Yeah, well, I'm all for it. And
well, I'd probably do well.
Okay, initiative and referendum. Yeah, because you're election helper.
Right.
And
term limits.
And then term limits. It's exactly right.
I think term limits is...
Those two things would do it.
Okay, so I want to get back real quick to an earlier point about Governor Cuomo. And maybe this is just me being naive, but wouldn't it, as you're saying, there's all the talk. People are saying the talk. We can't, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, whispers. There was a piece in the Post or Daily News yesterday about, you know, is Cuomo next?
Post.
Is Cuomo next? So my question is, doesn't it seem as though if he isn't, then Preet Bharara has the power to say he's not currently the focus of an ongoing investigation.
Which he has not done.
Right.
But isn't he? We know at least some of his behavior is under investigation with the whole mm-hmm. Buffalo thing.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. What I mean. So it is okay to talk about it and have it as a real legitimate question.
Well, there's no question that, as Rosemary just perceptively says, that in fact he has been investigated for that mm-hmm. stuff, and for the quashing of the Moreland Commission. We know that. And as I say, there's been a distinct change in his behavior. He's a nicer man these days, and that's good. I mean, if we've achieved nothing else, we get that.
Well, it might have been because his great girlfriend has had a brush with the death. Maybe that's mellowed him. You don't really know that it's because he's afraid of being indicted. His father died. No, he's had a hard year.
Yeah. Yes, but there's also some political calculus here. The teachers is the sum of that political calculus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was Mr. Common Core, and now he's saying
he's
backing out and it's not working and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I think that, yes, maybe part of it, us as women would like to think that his heart could be softened because he lost his dad, which isn't an easy thing to do, and his partner has been sick. But I also think that he's a hard-nosed politician, and there's political capital and political calculus, and mm-hmm. you know, he wants to run again.
Something interesting happened here when this conversion happened. I probably shouldn't tell the story, but we got a telephone call from his press people saying he'd like to come on. Now, he hasn't been on for a long, long time. I can only tell you, in the beginning, they were very interested in doing the old show that Mario did with me. And when that didn't work out, because I wasn't going to do it, I can tell you that there was no presence at all, which is fine. I mean, that's his privilege, and he can do anything he wants. So all of a sudden, we're getting a call. And our news guy says, well, what happened to change? And he said, well, we think it's time. Okay, we think it's time. All right. So it was one more thing, as if they had a checklist of all the things that they had to do, from the teachers to the this to the
Allen.
So
is he coming on?
No, and then he didn't do it. Hmm. And that week we had Chris Gibson on the Congressional Corner. And Chris Gibson said Cuomo's a bully. It made a lot of headlines. And I think that the punishment then continued. I didn't ask Chris Gibson to say that. Chris Gibson is just one more newsmaker. And the whole idea is, if you don't have your thumb on them, then they're going to misbehave. And so that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the few letters we have in this issue. We'll talk about other stuff as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And remember, WAMC.org/roundtable. And we can find those comments online and read them to you. And you can read along as well and comment on them. And it's very interactive and all that good stuff.
Okay, so one more time, Joe, because I'm so old. What's the address you write to?
You know what? When we come back, it's WAMC.org/roundtable.
Okay, fine.
And then I will actually show you, and with the cameras in the room, and sort of walk through it.
Walk through on behalf of an old person.
Well, not on behalf of an old person, just as a
technologically.
I mean, it's like, person. You know, you still have the people that help you with your taxes, young and old.
Yes,
you still need trouble working through these steps. Okay, here we go. We'll be right back after this break.
Support comes from Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Fresh trees, hand-decorated wreaths, tree ornaments, Adams-grown poinsettias in multiple colors, and more. AdamsFarms.com. And from Springhouse Spa, Sharon Springs, New York, a modern-day spa in a historic setting, providing customized spa services, massage, and skincare. Holiday gift certificates available online, SpringhouseSpa.com. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm sorry, I was giving Alan the tutorial during the break. I apologize. But I think we accomplished a lot, didn't we, Alan?
Oh, yeah. No, I am.
Totally understand.
However,
now,
I'm still old.
He's now a technology rock star. Not to worry.
So WAMC.org/roundtable, and it has the date on it, 12/14 panel. Click on it, and it'll say comments, and you write them, and then we'll get them. I was explaining to Alan, and Alan gets the emails.
You gave me the tutorial. Let me just go through it for everybody right now, okay? Because if I can understand it, then anybody can. All
that's right.
Here we go. All
okay.
Right. Not so quick, Joe.
So you go to
the WAMC webpage. Is that right?
Yes.
That's at WAMC.org.
Right.
When you get there, you will see a roundtable section.
Yes.
And on the roundtable section, today's panel.
12/14/15 panel, which is today's date.
If you click on that, you will see an opportunity to write a comment.
Yes, it'll say comments.
And the big advantage of that is that when you say that to us here this morning, even if it's not seen, it will be seen on the page so that all of your friends, colleagues, and everybody else will see it, which we really want to happen.
Well, the other thing we want to happen is then it can open up a dialogue between our listeners so that if Frank in Bascom says this, then Lucy and Copay can say that, and then they can get into a war and we can just sort of watch it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But we also retain the right to moderate
if people get out of hand from
the people who are crazy.
Absolutely. Right.
Just so you know, you just have to scroll down. Once you get to the page, you have to scroll down to the comment box.
Yes.
It's not at the top of the page, it's at the
bottom.
No,
although
of the page.
As the comments grow, that goes up.
This is true, but still right now I have a headache.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll let you get whatever pain medication you need. I know. And then we'll come back and talk about a lot of stuff. Okay,
right.
Rosemary?
All right. That would be good.
All right.
You can't learn this stuff by just listening to
you. I think we lost you.
We got to sit down and stand over their shoulder. Just call me. I'll walk you through it.
But some people will get it. Some people will get it.
It's like being on a blog. Yeah. Okay. That's really what it is.
If you're under 40.
Right.
WAMC.org/roundtable. We will continue our conversation about other things, I promise, after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And we have letters that have come in a myriad of ways. And this is regarding the Dean Skelos Cuomo situation, the state legislature at large. And Alan will go over those letters and then we'll move on to other topics and talk about things and do a half-hour lightning round.
I get criticized when I go too fast, but Paul says, we do not need change. I'm assuming this is the legislature. We need direction and high goals.
That would be a change.
Tom, who always watches us on the visual streaming, says, isn't Alan's head cold? Because I'm not wearing a hat.
You're not wearing a hat. It's rare for you not to wear a hat.
Yeah.
You look a little bit like Irwin Corey, actually.
Do I look better or worse? Do I look younger or older?
I think you look...
I'm reserving all judgment.
I think your hair looks good. I think you're rocking the hair today. It's good.
Yeah, but.
It's very fluffy. It's
yeah,
good.
But. Jeez. But.
What?
Okay, let's go back to giving directions about online.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Robert says.
No, but we're used to seeing you wear a hat. I think that's the point.
Robert says, interesting that he, Cuomo, appeared on Morning Joe today to hawk his latest gambit with Senator Schumer, ban gun sales to those listed on the no-fly roster. Thanks. And that's Robert from the town of Wright. And it's a good thing to hawk. And then Robert says, Cuomo may not have crossed the line from reprehensible to criminal in his attempts to control the Moreland Commission and then shutting it down when it started investigating those he wanted left alone. But he permanently tarnished his legacy as a crusader for good government. That's why if Chris Gibson runs against him in the next election, I may very well vote for a Republican for the first time since Lindsay. And Don says, what is this about no-show jobs? Even bank robbers show up for work. Referring to the younger Skelos.
Adam Skelos.
Who had three bad employees.
I did not see any no-show jobs advertised in the paper today. I guess the Skelos family missed the memo about work ethic. And Gina said, I'd like him, Cuomo, to be held accountable for the horrific state of prisoner abuse in New York. Wow. See New York Times front page article. Quite an article indeed. Talking about somebody being killed and nobody being held responsible.
Right. Yeah.
Which we wouldn't have even known about
except
fully
for the escapees.
Right. Yeah.
And Jay writes, writes, Cuomo is Mr. Nice Guy? Ask the faculty and staff of CUNY and SUNY for a contrary view about the governor who just vetoed the maintenance of effort higher education funding bill. We should talk about that, yeah, sometime. And Judy says, it's warm. Hi, gang. My take on this unseasonably warm weather is that it's payback for the miserable winter we had last year, a la Seinfeld. Even Steven, enjoy. And that's from Judy. However, all of the long-term weather forecasting is saying this year, from January till through April, is going to be hellish. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling we're going to see much of the same thing.
We'll pay for it.
Yeah. Even Stephen. And Scott says, Sandy Hook there continues to be called for more gun control. Guns are the low-hanging fruit that it's easy to point out. How about the real root of the problem, mental illness? And goes on, but I just want to make... And Tom writes back and says, Alan, you look marvelous. And we heard from Hopin, who says, perhaps the last election results hinted to the governor that he can't relate to the entire public workforce with an obsessive level of hatred and still expect them to vote for him. However, I want to ask everybody a question, which is interesting to me. Let's just say, at least to me, let's just say you have ticked off all of the, I can't use the P word, but let's say you've ticked off all of the teachers.
Yes.
And boy, he did. I couldn't find a teacher who wasn't furious at him at some point. And these are even the non-political teachers. I'm not talking about the leaders. So what I wanted to know, and I still want to know, is if that was their attitude and he comes around and he changes his position on all of that stuff, which threatened them, will they like him again? Do they turn around and say, okay, you did that, now we like you?
Hmm. Can he win the back, in other words?
Yes. Right.
Well, it's about getting the backing of NYSET.
Yeah. Well,
right. That's what it's really about.
Well, I think that's going to depend on who the opponent is and how they look at their political future. I don't think they're going to decide on whether they like him personally or not. It'll be on does he have the power to get what they want through.
I mean, if it's somebody, if it's a conservative Republican who wants charter schools throughout the state and get rid of public schools, get rid of tenure, get rid of all this other stuff, they'll support Cuomo.
I'm not so sure. Because Cuomo was for most of those
I know,
things
but he's
well,
backing off.
Joseph says, I wonder, do you remember when Senator Edward Kennedy was on the no-fly list? I do. I've cited it several times here. Yet another pathetically simple idea to confront a very complex problem.
I want to answer that one because I think that's such a stupid argument. Yes, he was
wrongly.
You call
that stupid?
Yeah, I'm calling that argument stupid. He's not the first one to make it. No.
There was an 18-month-old that was on the no-fly list.
And so it was immediately made public and correct it. You also have the court that you can go to get off of the list. So what is the harm of you can't buy a gun while you're disputing whether or not you should be on the list? It is certainly not an answer to the entire complex issue of guns, but it's low-hanging fruit is the expression we're using. It's an easy way to take care of part of the problem. When we are looking only for one solution that's going to solve everything, we will never do anything. Oh yeah, that's what we've done so far. Why not take small steps? And this is plainly what that does not hurt your rights.
And this coming from Rosemary, who is furious about having to take her shoes off in the airport. And now,
correct.
Wait.
$4 billion a year, TSA has never stopped a hijacking or crime.
I'm not done yet. now, there must be another Rosemary Armeo in the world whose name may be on the no-fly list. And you have a right to go to court? You want to get to Denver, for God's sakes. In other words, if they make a stupid mistake like they did with Teddy Kennedy or the 18...
I would love to take the TSA to court. If I had a case, I would do that.
All right, I'm done with that.
All right, good. Let's move on to other issues. We'll go to the... in other news in Albany, in a surprise announcement, the Empire State Pride Agenda, a leading state group that advocates gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender issues in New York, will disband next year. Why? Why are they disbanding? Well, they have fulfilled their 25-year commitment for equality. They're all done.
I bet Libby has something to say on this.
Let me disclose. I was the founding co-chair of the Empire State Pride Agenda.
Yes.
Okay. I'll put it right out there. That's number one.
Did they come to see you before they did this?
No. And number two, I was just with all of them in October because they honored all the founders because it was the 25th anniversary and a bunch of us got together. Kubler-Ross has those seven stages of death. Well, I'm careening between shock grief and anger, and I'm never going to get to acceptance. I don't understand this decision other than they can't raise the money that they needed to raise. And it makes absolutely no sense to me that just because they can't raise, you know, basically what's happening here is that because marriage is done in New York, they think they're done. And because the governor, in his, yes, wisdom, at the dinner in October announced that through regulation he was going to protect transgender citizens.
Right.
You know, they think.
An anti-discrimination
right,
bill.
Right. They think that it's all done now, and it's clearly not done. Our agenda will never be done. Yes, some of us have this rosy picture. We start these organizations so we can go out of business eventually. There are still people in New York State who are discriminated against. Whoever the next governor is,
it would be like announcing that there'll be no more anti-defamation.
Right, right. It would be whoever the next governor is can come in and totally reverse the executive fiat that he's just done around the transgender community. They reached out to no one.
So is it all about the money? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's all about the money and who they relied on for raising money, which was the wealthy gay man in New York City. There's not a fundraising base upstate. They reached out to no one. It doesn't have to be me. There are leaders in the lesbian gay community, Matt Foreman, who now runs a major foundation out west, was the executive director. He's a major leader in the community. You've got Alan Van Kempel. There are other people who have put so much energy into the Pride agenda.
Okay, let me ask this.
And they reached out to none of us to discuss this.
What should the agenda be for the next 10 years if it were to be continued? What would you have people work on?
What I would have people work on is getting rid of reparative therapy in the state, making sure that we can do surrogate parenting, shoring up the Health and Human Services Network. Because while, yes, we can't be fired from our jobs ostensibly, gay youth are still targeted in our schools, even though we have the Dignity for All Students Act. The majority of homeless kids are gay kids who have come out to their parents and been thrown out of their houses. You know, there are still many issues to be dealt with. There's still issues for the transgender community to be dealt with. There's many more things, and it's like issues around the LGBT community will never go away as long as there is bigotry and hatred towards us.
State Senator Brad Hoyleman, a Manhattan Democrat, likened this to President Bush's mission accomplished.
Yeah, right. And you know, the people at the Pride Agenda are pushing back about that. Oh, no, we didn't say that. Well, basically, that is what they're saying. And this mission will never be accomplished. There are so many people, I mean, on Facebook, it lit up yesterday on Facebook.
I think you've made your point very clearly.
Thank you.
And we argue about a lot of things here, but I don't think this is arguable. And
no, it's not.
And, you know, it's just, you just.
It's sad.
You just have made your point.
It's sad.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and move on to other issues. We welcome you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org or WAMC.org/roundtable. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Albany Symphony presenting Rossini's William Tell Overture, Schubert's Ninth Symphony, and music of Michael Torkey with David Allen Miller this Saturday and Sunday at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. AlbanySymphony.com for more information. Beacon Fine Art Printing, Beacon, offering museum-quality giclée printing, scanning, retouching, and mounting for galleries, artists, photographers, and collectors. BeaconFineArtPrinting.com. And from Flatbrook & Company, a design and build firm servicing the Berkshires and Capital Region, working to transform homes and businesses using creative, innovative methods. Wishing WAMC listeners happy holidays, flatbrookandco.com.
Good Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable panel and to our discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments, WAMC.org/roundtable. Okay, the big story over the weekend, of course, the Paris Accord, a big win for President Obama, even as the climate dangers still loom. It was something that has been on a lot of minds and a lot of people working on this for a long time. Across the Atlantic, international climate negotiators completed an agreement that owed much of its success to the willingness of the U.S. president to take on both congressional Republicans and fossil fuel industry executives on an issue that consistently ranks among the lowest priorities for American voters.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and it should be the highest priority. Mm-hmm. And what's incredible is I read in the Times, I think it was the Times this weekend, that China is now planning to have coal-burning plants, not only a huge number in China, but to set them up in other countries in the world as part of their contribution to whatever these emerging economies are. This is incredible. How can you say one thing when Obama, you may remember, had an agreement with the Chinese, and Obama said, we're going to start right now, and the Chinese said, yeah, in several years we're starting. You were starting also. I mean, you know, now you got to come back to the country that has agreed to this, and you have to have the internal politics of that country engaged as to whether they're going to do it.
Well, there's no treaty that solves the entire problem. This is a really important first step. If you want to look at it closely, as environmental experts have, they'll say you can follow every step in there, and it still isn't going to be enough to reverse the damage we've already done.
I agree.
However, 200 nations have signed on to an agreement. We have not even come close to that in the past. So it is a huge victory for Obama, who began his administration thinking he would get nothing done on environment. It also is another sign of what a great Secretary of State John Kerry is. The Iran nuclear treaty, the TPP, and now this. You may be opposed to those, but to just get those things into operation is astounding.
Okay, I agree.
What I found interesting is that we don't need to go to Congress for approval on this.
No,
because
you don't.
They've maneuvered this as an extension of a UN accord that we've already approved, like, I think, in 98, in 82 or something like that.
But they're warning. But they are warning that if we elect a Republican, this is all, you know, goodbye.
Yeah, well, that's lovely. And then they can just say goodbye to the planet.
Well, they're going to put Ted Cruz in, so you can say goodbye to the planet anyway.
Right.
But it gives you talking points now. When nations do bad things, you have some way to attack them. You also have an engaged private sector led by Bill Gates, who are looking to supply money to those developing countries who really are at a disadvantage to comply by the rules. When you're already developed, like the United States and the West, is a whole lot different than if you're China or Brazil or India trying to build your economy.
And yet, you're right. You're absolutely right. But yet the United States is going to have to make some sacrifices.
And, well, we ought to. Yeah. We use resources way above our population.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
There was just direct you to a great video that the New York Times has on their website about explaining this deal in, you know, I think, a minute 30, where they go to the points and gives you a really good idea as to what was accomplished and what was not rule and will now be and how it will change things. But ultimately, 6 years I've been working on this particular deal, and we got it over the weekend. So there is that. Let us go on after we talk about that. There was the poll that came out over the weekend that Ted Cruz is leading in Iowa, and not only that, but the Washington Post wrote an article this weekend that Ted Cruz seems to actually be the favorite to win the GOP primary.
Right.
When looking at
he's been set up. I think this has been a long time coming, and the media has been deceptive in saying, "Oh, you know, when Carson and Trump fade, it would be Rubio we see coming into the spotlight." But meanwhile, Ted Cruz has been working quietly and and steadily. He has built a massive political organization nationwide, and he could pull this off.
Well, you mean he could pull off the nomination? Do you think he could pull off the presidency?
No, sir. Not in 100 years.
No. I don't think so. I think he's so far out of the pale that the he loses the middle.
Yeah, yeah. But, he absolutely does.
But is this? I mean, this is the elephant in the room, right? If I'm not misreading this, but compared to Trump. Right? Is that what we're seeing?
He's as bad as Trump.
No,
right?
What I'm saying is to win the nomination.
Yeah. Oh. Well, let me put it this way. I think if Trump becomes the candidate, the Democrats are in far worse shape than if Cruz is the candidate. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Alan on that. But Cruz is a dedicated, true blue conservative. He doesn't have any of the flip flops of a Trump. He's not abrasive. Well, he is in personal life, we understand, but he doesn't come off in public as being, you know, just completely undiplomatic and profane. He would be harder.
What do you think has happened? And maybe this is just my imagination or wishful thinking. I don't know. But it seems that just in the last three or four days, that there has been this turn on Trump where people are getting more and more
After a while, the negative will build up, and it's becoming louder than his bluster. And so. Yeah. You know, I think there are people. I mean, his own party is starting to push back, and some of the stuff he's saying has been shown to be. Let me put it to you this way: hate crimes against Muslim Americans have skyrocketed in the last few weeks after he said what he said.
Does he care?
No, he doesn't care. But I think the American populace, the rational people, do care and don't want.
Would they have skyrocketed rampant. With what happened anyway? Though I don't think so. Do we put that solely on him?
He's giving people permission to act on the most base desires of beating people up and targeting people for their religious beliefs.
I think banning people into the country is different than beating them up.
Well,
but one leads to the other.
One does lead to the other. I mean, there's
and he's
there's
had
no
beatings at his.
Well, no, that is very true.
There's
that
a woman
is, no, that
who
is
got
true.
Beat up this weekend, yes.
And he doesn't condemn it.
You're right. He's like, yeah, go beat them up because they don't agree with me, so they deserve to be beat up. I mean, it's a very thug mentality.
Well, let's be careful. I don't know that he said go beat them up.
No, he said.
Well,
he said,
it's okay, rough him up. He did.
Well, in that one case,
he was very dismissive.
He didn't say that. What he said was maybe I should have had him roughed up. Is what he said after the fact.
We're splitting hairs, but it is different.
I don't know about that. I think we have some.
He hasn't condemned it.
Yeah.
He has not condemned the violence against people who don't support him at his rallies. He has not condemned it. He has not said no. This isn't the way we act.
I agree with you that it's splitting hairs, but we had a letter last night from a woman who said that he called for Bo Bergdahl to be shot.
Yeah.
And I wrote back and I said, well, no, that's not what he said. What he said is that 30 years ago, he would have been shot. That's what he said. But I think, look, we have enough kooky things that he really did say to go after a mom. We don't make up stuff.
Mary called and said, I was hoping for a Trump-free Monday.
Well, you know, we're all hoping for a Trump.
we're all hoping for a Trump-free life, but it's not going to happen.
All right, let's. I think we have time for one more issue, and I guess we'll just go to this, which is the big thing, and this is which I guess is the case with all of these debates so far has been, well, this will decide it. This is going to show who's in and who's out. Well,
Pataki's back.
No, he's not. Christie is back. Christie is back.
Oh, at the big table.
Huckabee is out.
Yeah. Right. He wasn't even on.
Well, they decided Christie had to be at the big table.
And so yes,
Huckabee's out. Yeah,
because he couldn't fit
at the little table. Ha ha! Fat jokes. Oh, we have sunk to a new low.
Okay. Yes, that's new. Chris Christie, Rand Paul on the main stage. Huckabee out in the CNN debate that will be held tomorrow night in Las Vegas. CNN made this announcement.
You should have told me what happened.
I wonder if they were going to pay Trump the $5 million he wanted to participate.
Oh, that's right. He said to participate right. in another one.
Right. Mm. Right.
I'll tell you one thing.
No report on that.
If they don't, and I'm not saying they will, because I hope
don't
they
pay
won't.
Them or don't.
Yeah, I hope they won't. But, you know, a lot fewer people will
tune
watch
in.
Him, yeah.
If they pay him, that will be
no,
the end
not
of their
pay.
Credibility.
No, they can't.
Won't.
Yeah.
And so the second tier debate will be Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, Lindsey Graham, and George Pataki.
That's the children's table.
And isn't Carly on that in the children's table?
No, she's in the big.
Did she
she's
make
in
the
big girl table?
No. Okay, fine.
Donald
they
Trump.
They had to leave her in.
Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, Carly Fiorina, John Kasich, and Rand Paul.
Wow. It's going to be like a rerun.
Where's Jason with the basin?
It's like, you know, Carson's just becoming a footnote in all this now.
Alan's making yeah. those references again. I yeah. never get.
So the issue of Ben Carson, of he's, course, he has now yeah. said. Over
oh, he's going to quit the party, I think, right?
Yeah, said he may go into a third party candidacy.
Yeah. Good,
party.
Him, Trump, Carson, let them yeah. all go.
They're splintering.
Yeah, splinter yeah. away. Have yeah. fun, have at it.
Look, this is his first and last chance. He ain't getting it the next time. So,
who, Ben Carson?
Yeah.
He Carson. Wasn't getting it this time.
Right. I agree with you, but in his own mind, maybe he was. And he was leading for a while.
Yes.
Could have been a contender.
If I had only spoken up a little more forcefully and known that it was Hamas and not hummus.
One of the greatest political moments
oh,
ever.
Yes.
God.
But also a great example of how journalists can kill you.
Yeah, that's
I
absolutely.
Mean, if that's what
well,
came out of that.
So.
If that's what
and
came out of that.
That's
right.
kind of our job.
And this job
yeah.
is all about foreign policy, and if you can't get that
no.
those details right, you should not be in
know.
The job.
Well, I don't
Trump
like
has
Hamas,
trouble
but
with
I do like
too.
Hummus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's, we're out of time.
Oh,
I want to thank you all, but we got a lot of
we did.
This was not our best show.
No, excuse me.
No.
No,
we're
it wasn't.
We're going to wrap this puppy up and send it to the Museum of Broadcasting. Who are you kidding? We thank you very much, as always. Remember, WAMC.org/roundtable. Go and learn how to do it. We'll have more tutorials throughout the week.
I got to get my hat.
Okay, yes. Alan, you
could get your head's cold.
I have to get my reports on TSA to prove they haven't done anything.
We'll be back after this.